from every situation. And he's going to use your experiences, your mess, and he's going to make it into his message, and you're going to help people.
Talks truth, live from the booth, always piece of 100 proof. She's bringing to you words of encouragement with the funny twist to feed your soul like it's nourishment. While you're listening, I hope you catch a feeling, cause Tina talks truth about hope, truth, and healing. So I hope you tune in to the radio. Tina talks truth, it's the only way to go.
Good morning. This is Tina Levine with Tina Talks Truth Radio Show. Good morning to you, and thank you for tuning in every Wednesday on One Jam Nation Radio at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. So it is Wednesday. You know, I'm going to call it Wonderful Wednesday because it's after Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a nice dinner? Maybe it was a lunch. Maybe it was a dinner. Was it a dinner? Did you have a lunch, dinner, dinner? I ate a lot. And then I decided to make another Thanksgiving dinner a couple days later for my family. And it was delicious. So I am thankful for grocery stores and the food and seasoning herbs and spices. How come I never used spices and herbs before? Well, I mean, I used an herb, but it was smoked. But anyways, I love like parsley and what is that other one? The green leafy. Oh, goodness. Anyways, yeah, I am thankful for herbs and spices and all that good stuff. So I'm also thankful for our guest today, Serena Babb, and she's an author. I just want to share Psalm 119:18. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Wonderful things. This is Wonderful Wednesday. So wonderful things. Yeah, there's wonderful things. If we just open our eyes, right? Just open your eyes and look around. And I know there's a lot of negativity in this world. And I know, oh, don't even get me started about the news, the media and all that. I don't even turn on the TV for all that. I don't even look at a newspaper. I don't even watch the news on Facebook or anything like that because it's just so negative. It's just a reminder that there's such a negative world out there. And so I'm going to start us off with prayer because it's important that we ask for God to open our eyes to the wonderful things. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we praise you for this wonderful day, Lord, that today is a wonderful day because first, you woke us up. Second, you have created so many wonderful things in this life. Just the flowers, hummingbirds, butterflies. There's so many beautiful, wonderful things that we're surrounded by, Lord, and we just ask that you keep us focused on the wonderful things, the blessings that you abundantly give to us every day, Lord. But not only the things that we can see with our eyes, but that we can feel with our hearts. Peace, love, joy, laughter, healing. And God, I just ask a hedge of protection around any of my listeners if they're traveling over these holidays or just traveling in general. Just a hedge of protection around them. Keep them safe, Lord. And I ask also healing upon those that are suffering from abuse, addictions, any adversity, God, and that they will focus on you. They will focus on the wonderful things that you have created in this life. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Serena Babb, this guest is going to bless you. Here's my friend Serena.
And we have a special guest. She's an author of The Daily Burn. Ladies, this is for us, I believe. This book just sounds incredible. We have Serena Babb, and she actually describes herself. I have to read your Facebook description because I just love this bio. A laughaholic whose heart has been stolen by God, who's been entrusted to Mary and graced to parents. Wow. Welcome, Serena.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Wow. That's just incredible. I just love, it's poetic, but also I love that you say you're a laughaholic because girl, you know, I like to laugh.
Yeah. I follow you on Instagram. So You're part of my last routine in the morning.
Yay! Oh, that's awesome. I love to hear that. That's incredible. And I truly believe there's so much healing in humor and laughter.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if we can't laugh at ourselves, then someone else will.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So tell us about, you're an author and your book is called The Daily Burn, and you're going to have a book signing in 2018, which I'm super excited for. Tell us about this book, The Daily Burn. How did you get Daily Burn, the title, and what it's about?
I think it was around maybe the end of 2015, early 2016. I was having a lot of headaches, definitely overweight, and just having a lot of health challenges. Of course, being the type of person that I am, I just kept pushing myself, and I'm like, oh, the headaches are because maybe I forgot to eat a meal, or maybe my hair tie is too tight, anything. I was just making up excuses. I'm continuing to push myself. And then I realized that the health issues were lingering. I started having hot flashes. I started having insomnia really bad. Just a lot of issues that kind of triggered me to go to the doctor. Found out that I have a thyroid condition. And so I have an autoimmune condition. It's called Hashimoto's. And it's basically where the thyroid is being attacked, and it begins to shut down, and it shuts down other things in the body. And so the doctor told me to see a specialist, and the specialist suggested medicine. And so being the person that I am, I wanted to do my research first. I wanted to pray about it. And so I did that. And from that prayer and from my research, I decided I wasn't going to take the medicine, that I would actually take a more organic route, meaning I'll eat better. I'll watch what I eat. I did some research on what heals the thyroid. I started to work out and lose the extra weight and burn off that weight that I was carrying. And one morning, I got very involved in this plan that I set out between my eating and my working out. And one day, I was just sitting there, and the Holy Spirit just started dealing with me, because I had gone for like 2-a-days where I was working out in the morning before work and then late that evening. And he was just like, you know, just how you're burning off these calories daily is just as important in your spiritual life. And, you know, I would consider myself someone who's pretty committed to my Christian walk as far as my prayer life and my reading and devotion time. But I just felt this urge to do better and to go deeper. And so I felt convicted to say, hey, if I can get up and commit to something physically, I should be just as committed spiritually. I wasn't doing 2-a-days with my devotion with God, but I was with my physical health. And so that's kind of where the name originated from, Daily Burn. And so it's a 31-day devotional to kind of jump kick someone off to getting started, because it can be kind of tough. Devotionals are about 1 to 2 pages, so I tried to keep it short and simple. Enough to where someone could pull out the book before their workout, whether they're sitting in their car or at home, and they can just read a devotional and get that spiritual exercise that they need right before going into any physical exercise. So that's kind of how the book originated.
That's incredible, because you brought up a really valid point that a lot of times people address the physical or emotional, you know, exercise or I guess workout or regimen, mm-hmm. you know, of trying to be healthy, and they oftentimes forget about that spiritual component. And that
right.
is just such a valid point. And I love that it's not a 30-day devotional, that it's 31 days. That's awesome. Because, you know, there's some months that are 31 days. So I think that's great. It just like you said about the spiritual exercise and the 2-a-days of, you know, physical life, we can take care of ourselves and do 2-a-days. But the spiritual life, you know, one of the things uh-huh. I always say is, I actually pray 3 times a day, in the morning, at night, and all day, because I think that constant communication with God is so important,
right.
and it's a muscle. You know, we have to work that spiritual exercise, that spiritual regimen, just as much as we do with the physical. So that's pretty incredible. I love that whole concept.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. To what you said, yeah, it is. It's very important, and we do negate it a lot we can kind of get headstrong about what we need to do physically and, like you say, completely miss the spiritual.
Yes, and so I loved, you know, following you on Facebook and seeing your progress. It was just incredible. The transformation was just, I remember I used to look forward to when you would say you were going on a photo shoot, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to see what she looks like now, and you know, the outfit you have on, and oh, it was just unbelievable to see the transformation, not just on the outside, but you could tell that you felt good inside. And I think that's the most important part of all of this, is that spiritual growth inside, and it just reflects that light then on the outside. So tell us about, I know you just had a baby 3 months ago, so congratulations.
Thank you.
And she is beautiful. Oh, just I love looking at the pictures and that. Tell us, so how have you, are you thinking about maybe doing a 45-day devotional of being a parent? Like, a new book, maybe?
I don't think I have enough training just yet, right? When I think I got her down packed and her schedule, she changes on me. So I think I'll have to wait. I did toil with the idea of writing something each week. As a new mom, we actually tried to have kids for 9 years. So Keith and I will be celebrating, well, close to 9 years, but we'll be celebrating 9 years next Wednesday. Ever since we were married, we've been trying to conceive, and we had trouble, obviously, because of the thyroid issue. But so she's a blessing. But each week, because we waited so long and because of the excitement that built up once we had her, you know, every week they send you updates. You sign up for these different blogs, and they tell you what's going on with the baby while you're pregnant every week. They're like, you know, week 20, this is what happened, or week 21. And so every week we would look forward to those and read through over and over again. And so I did toil with the idea of maybe writing something, doing prayers over them each week, you know, depending on what was going on and what was developing with the baby that week. But motherhood kicked in and reality kicked in, and I haven't done much writing, so we'll see how God leads. But no, nothing yet.
Oh, I think that's a great idea, though, the prayers. One of the things I do, my son's 11 now, and I literally, like, there's sometimes I'll wake up at 2-3 in the morning and I'll, like, be praying over him. Just, you know, the Holy Spirit's like, you need to pray, you know, for a hedge of a protection over this child. And I'll be praying over him. And then sometimes I just kind of watch him sleep. And I said that one day, I was like, sometimes I just watch you sleep because you're just so peaceful. And he's like, that is really creepy. I'm like, that's the difference between having a 3-month-old baby and an 11-year-old boy. Now it's creepy. So that just sounds like a great idea with the prayers and that. And so tell us about the book signing come in 2018.
Yeah, so I had I actually had two book signings set up. I was going to do one here in Tampa and one in Lakeland, but with the baby coming, it was going to be a bit too much for me pushing it with the due date and the timing of the release of the book. So now we've kind of postponed that to either late January, early February. We want to have a book signing here. It'll be on the website at www.hiseyes.org if anyone's interested in checking back and seeing if there's a date. But at the book signing, I'll obviously sign books. I'll have books available for purchase, but I'll also talk a little bit more in detail about how the book came about based off of the autoimmune disease, and I'll also go through a few devotionals and talk about why I wrote the book, how I wrote it. The devotionals deal with very, I would say, tough topics, if not lighthearted topics, and I did that for a reason. And so at the book signing, those are some of the things I'll go over.
Okay, so tough topics. So would you say that the audience for this book would be for women?
I think naturally it would be for women because I think more than men, women care about how we look. We're constantly concerned about how we look, and sometimes enough is never enough for us. But I would say the audience is for anyone who struggles with getting started with consistency in their reading their word. So, for instance, I meet a lot of people who say, you know, ask them about their reading life as far as the Bible, their devotion time. And they're like, yeah, well, I don't really have time, or I try to read, but I don't really understand what it's saying. So I try to write in a way where that person that's struggling, that's probably not praying like yourself throughout the day or don't really know how to understand what's being said in the Bible, I try to write in a way where they can pick it up and it's easy for them to read. And so for me, the audience will be anyone who's ready to get started, just like anyone who get ready to lose weight. In the physical, you're just starting out. Sometimes you don't know all the different machines in the gym. Sometimes you don't realize how often or how long you need to stretch or what's too far, how to stay hydrated, how to eat. It's the same thing with the spiritual. And so I feel like devotions are the best plans for getting into the Word and creating consistency in the Christian walk. And so my audience, as crazy as it sounds for a writer to say this, it would pretty much be anyone. But if I had to narrow it down, it would be those who needed consistency in their walk and wanted to get a jump start on that.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I mean, really, a lot of us struggle with that, you know, consistency and that routine of just, you know, we have a routine, well, most of us, you know, that we wake up and we brush our teeth before we leave the house. Yeah, some of us don't, but I guess if you're 11 years old, it's not much of a priority. but you know,
or a 3-month-year-old, and it's between. Yes. I won't say who did it. But.
Yes, yeah. So it's great to have that, to implement that routine and that consistency. And they say it takes 30 days to start a new, you know, behavior, to change a behavior and start something new. So that's great. Yours is 31 days. You're right there on the mark.
All right.
So I ask all of my guests just 4 questions. What brings you hope?
Now at 31, what brings me hope, and it may sound cliche, but it really is Jesus Christ. We live in just, I mean, I guess anyone could say this depending on when they were born, but the times in the world that we live is very dark, very depressing. And if you don't have something to hold on to, there's no type of, if there's nothing firm, as far as your hope, and it's just wishing, and you'll get sucked into the woes of life. And so really just Christ and his sacrifice is really my hope, the hope that in Christ this is just temporary. There's a permanent place for us. There's going to be a different experience that'll take place other than what we may have gone through in this life. And so that really is my hope. So when things get kind of down and out, and I gain all those 45 pounds that I lost back, and then, you know, really, flexing is just temporary. But in seriousness, in everyday life, when stuff gets hard, whether it be marriage, friendship, whatever, I really remind myself, like, you know what, there's hope in Christ. He's already promised this is temporary. So.
Oh, I love that. And it's so true that there's so much negativity in the world, and we need to just stay focused on Jesus. I love, you know, the story about Peter in the boat and staying focused on Jesus. And that's what I'm always reminded of is I don't, you know, the devil loves to distract. I mean, he loves to destroy and kill and all that too. But, you know, he loves distractions. He will call some distractions in our lives. And just like what you said about, you know, Jesus with the sacrifice. And just keep a focus on him and that's true hope. It's just the truth. So thank you for sharing that. What brings you joy?
What brings me joy is, I think a really nice answer would probably be like, oh, my loving husband, my oh-so-sweet daughter. But, I mean, like, real joy would probably be Jesus. Again, I think there's a difference between happiness and joy. Keith and Soraya, my husband and my daughter, they give me happiness. They give me a sense of security. They give me energy. And they give what people would call, they give me life, if I had to describe it. You know, they put a smile on my face. But that joy, to me, surpasses happiness. Because joy is something, in my definition, that things may not always be the most happiest, meaning it could still be a dark situation. I can still have joy. And I think, for me, only Jesus really can provide that. Nothing else really can. Even, like I said earlier, everything to me is temporary. Even my husband and my daughter, I mean, that may seem a little dark, but The reality is nothing in life is promised. Jesus already said we'll have many heartaches in this world. And so I had to find that through a bunch of different situations in my life, that if I want true joy, then it's only going to be found in Christ. Now, if I want happiness, there's tons of things that make me happy, like oatmeal cookies, donuts that I've been eating like every other day, Keith, Soraya, all of that makes me happy, but real joy comes from God.
Oh, I love that. And I totally get what you're saying about temporary. That I said that to my husband one night about our son, and I remember saying to him, you know, God's just lending him to us.
Yeah.
And oh, my husband was like, don't ever say that. And I'm like, but it's the truth, you know? I'm like, this is all temporary, you know? He's God's child, and God placed him in our lives, and it's just temporary. And wow, he did not like that, but I was like, it's the truth, you know, but I totally get that, you know, you find joy in Jesus. And I got to say, Serena, I want to buy your book because you're the first person I ever heard say that a 3-month-old baby gives them energy.
My force is either that or we both suffer. It pulls up energy I didn't know I had.
I'm like, whoa, if she's getting energy from having a 3-month-old baby, I need this woman's book.
Well, I tell you what, I just returned to work on Friday with my first day back. I've always had an issue with being late to work. Like, my manager's like, you do realize that you're supposed to be here at 8 o'clock, right? And I'm like, I do, but you do realize that never happened. So all of a sudden, now I'm at work at like 7:30, and most of my coworkers thought either I set the alarm wrong or something went wrong. You know, they didn't understand. And I'm like, no, Soraya broke that within a matter of days. And so, so she gives me a different kind of energy.
So she basically is an alarm clock early in the morning.
Like, I'm 30, and I'm the girl who's still sat on the edge of the bed like kids do when you try to wake them up, and you come back 20 minutes later, and they're still sitting in the daze. That was me at 30, and people would be like, are you going to go to work? Are you going to brush your teeth? Are you going to put on your clothes? So she's taking care of that within, like, a week.
I bet you sleep really, really well at night.
I don't know. I'm always jumping up, making sure she's breathing. Remember how you say you stare at your son? Well, that's me. I'm always checking. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, so I don't know if I sleep well. I do get sleep, but I don't know if I sleep well.
Oh, I do remember that if he was too quiet and I would run in there and, like, you know, almost start CPR, and then it's like, wait a minute, I think he's just sleeping.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like staring at her back and making sure it's moving up and down.
I know, but those are just the, you know, the fears that we have as women and mothers, and, you know, we just got to give it to God and eat, you know, oatmeal cookies, like you said.
Yeah.
So how important is laughter in your life?
Laughter is very important. I'll tell you quickly, for me, part of my testimony was being physically abused while I was younger sexually. And so, you know, when you're learning to cope with things, sometimes we pick up different habits. For some, it's drugs. For some, it's, I don't know, it could be sex for some. Whatever it is, different people pick up different things. And I learned to cope. There was a number of ways outside of anger, was ironically laughter. It became a way for me to cover up how I was feeling. It became a way for me to make it through awkward moments that I didn't know, or emotional moments that I didn't have courage or maturity to get through. And so once I realized it, and I became very good at it, both making others laugh and laughing at everything. And then once I got older and I realized, oh, there's some stuff you're not supposed to laugh at, you're actually supposed to deal with it, that became even more funny to me. But I realized that I had to actually deal with it, whatever I was dealing with, in a mature way. And once I did that, I kind of shut laughter down, because then I saw it as a bad thing. I was like, oh, I'm covering up. And it took on this older lady at my job. She kind of caught me in a raw moment of seeing me being silly, laughing uncontrollably, usually way too loud than what seemed appropriate. And she told me, she said, you know, never stop your laughter. She was like, it's a big part of who you are. God has graced you with it. It makes people comfortable. And she began to just basically tell me how my laughter and my joking was used to draw people. And I didn't realize it until people would later come up to me and say, hey, I just want to let you know. It just made me feel so comfortable. And so with that, and that was just my open door to be like, hey, I'm back. You know, I'm dealing with my issues in a mature way, and I'm still laughing. So laughter is like everything to me. Like I said earlier, it's so much going on in this world. There's so much that we're going to face that we have no control over. There's so much that we're going to endure that we do have control over, and we just let get out of hand. And to me, laughter is the way to cope with that and get through it, as long as we're really handling it. But laughter is kind of that antidote to making things feel better. It may not necessarily, to me, heal everything, but it does definitely make things feel better. And we try to do it a lot here in our house. There's been times where we're arguing, and Keith just looks at me, he's like, you're really going to just keep going? And I'm like, yep, and then I just start laughing. And so it's just like, I'm just going to stay mad. So it's everything. I can go on and on about it, but I think it's so important for people to have it in their lives.
I do, too. I love laughter, and it's important for us to have it, not only as, you know, mothers and wives, but just with our girlfriends or, you know, at work. And it's just so important to be able to laugh. Like you said, it's a great coping mechanism. You know, it's legal, number one, but and it's free. It's free to laugh. So I think everyone should, you know, laugh.
I want to get munchies afterwards. So.
That's right. Yeah, there's no hangover. There's not, you know, none of that stuff. So, and you kind of touched on this and said about, you know, that laughter, you know, helps with healing. How does one know that they're healing or have been healed?
I think someone knows that they're healed from something when they can face whatever that something was and all that it comes with in a Christ-like manner. And that may seem simple and straight to the point, but that is easier said than done. So, for instance, I'll use myself as an example. How I knew I was healed from the hurt in the past that I experienced in my past as far as sexual child abuse is because I was able to not just talk and look at the violator in their face, but I was able to pray for them and have a conversation with them that didn't make me feel uncomfortable or fearful or any of that. Whereas in the past, some people will say, oh, I just cut them off or I'm done with it, or, oh, I can never be around them. I think when Christ gets a hold of a heart, a mind, and a soul, he does something to where it makes us almost have the same testimony as David once said in the Bible. He said that it was good that I was afflicted because therein I saw the Lord. In other words, this pain that I'm going through, he almost began to just be thankful for it. He's like, because I got to know God in another way, essentially what he's saying. And I think that's when you know you're healed. When you can, whatever it was that hurt, that caused you to need healing, when you can handle it in a Christ-like manner and like Christ would, and not just for the sake of saying, oh, I forgive you because Christ told me to, but really forgive, then you know you're healed, in my opinion. Doesn't mean that there won't be, I would say, triggers or occasional flashbacks or things like that, but because we're human, you know, we have a memory, we have a brain, we have emotions, but when you can handle it like Christ, then healing has begun.
Oh, I love that. And what a remarkable testimony that you have to be able to forgive, actually, the perpetrator. And wow, the strength that God has given you to be able to do that and forgive. And, you know, really you're setting yourself free by forgiving them. It doesn't mean what they did was right or was justified. It just means that you're valuable enough to say, you know what, I'm going to set myself free and forgive. And so it's such a gift to give yourself. Thank you for sharing that. How can we, my listeners and I, pray for you and your ministry?
It's a good question. Well, you can pray that I stay committed to that which God has called me to do as far as my writing. And what I mean by committed is not just that I keep writing, but that I write with an ear that's listening to the voice of God. I think in these times we are going through very interesting times where some things are going on that have never gone on in previous years before. And I think that the voice of God is kind of getting drowned out in a lot of different things in a lot of different ways. And so we have to be bold enough. I believe the Christians that God has graced to walk on this planet during this season, we have to be bold enough to say some things that many others wouldn't say. And so in my writing, I try to be bold in my writing, which is why daily burn is so special to me, because I deal with topics and subjects that I feel like are important, things such as depression or rejection or jealousy. You know, I think it's time out for us to stop playing like we're Christian-like, but really be Christian, because there's a dying world that needs us, those who God has have grace to be disciples, to really just speak up and speak the truth in boldness. And so that's what your listeners and anyone else could just pray for the ministry God has entrusted me with, is just pray that I would just be obedient to his voice and write what he tells me to write, and not just write for the sake of writing the book, but really write what he instructs.
Absolutely. We will do that. We'll pray for your obedience and stay committed to writing and being bold and to be Christians. And that means being Christ-like. And
right.
Like you said, that being part of the healing process is, you know, facing what has happened to you and be Christ-like in that manner and speaking truth.
Yeah.
So I just want to wish you a happy anniversary. Yes, happy anniversary. And I just appreciate you taking time to be on the Tina Talks Truth radio show. And if people want to contact you, if they want your book, how do they do that? You said that your website was?
Yes, www.hiseyes.org. And thank you, Tina, so much for having me. I appreciate the ministry God has entrusted you with. I know even between your speaking engagements and being a mom and a wife, that you take time to share your truth in the most humorous way. And so I do appreciate you doing that and having me on.
Oh, thank you so much. And I appreciate you and can't wait to read that Daily Burn book.
Thank you so much, Serena. We appreciate you and your transparency. And thank you so much for sharing some of your testimony, but more than that, just about spiritual exercise. It's so important that we continue spiritual maintenance, spiritual exercise, spiritual guidance, and that we continue to be spiritual guardrails in each other's lives. Thank you for your Daily Burn book, the devotional. It's a 31-day devotional. You can go to her website, hiseyes.org, and she's going to have a book signing in 2018, people, so I will let you know about that as soon as possible. I just thank you so much, Serena, for taking time and sharing your hope, joy, laughter, and healing here on the Tina Talks Truth radio show every Wednesday on One Jam Nation Radio at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Here's Victor.
This is Victor with Tina Talks Truth, and the truth is, life is a wonderful thing, even when you get bills.
Victor!
The truth is, there is help.